St. John chapter number 3.
For all of you who have tuned into the podcast, I hope this blessed you today. Look back next week for more word and more revelation. Verse number 1 of chapter number 3 says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth.'" Say the truth. "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you what? The truth." Say the truth. He keeps talking about the truth. "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be.'" Say must be. "You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you what?" What does he say? "I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? If you can't get the earthly things, how will you comprehend the spiritual things?" Tell your neighbor, you must worship in spirit and in truth. The title of this is Spirit and Truth. Spirit and Truth. You may be seated. Go to St. John chapter number 4. And this is where we see Jesus dealing with an issue in his human side that is not often investigated or even spoken of by most preachers. But the truth of the matter is, because of Jesus' Jewish background, he had some idiosyncrasies, which simply means some ways about him culturally that would not allow him to so much as interact with a group of people called Samaritans. And they were considered very ghetto, to say the least. They esteemed dogs above Samaritans. And Jesus should not have even been seen talking to a Samaritan, let alone being in the vicinity of one. And so I want to set this picture up for you, that we see here in the human side of Jesus, there are some prejudices that he has to struggle with because of the way he was raised. Many of us don't know why we hate a particular group of people or a certain demographic of people. All we know is we just have always not liked them. And there are things that we stand by that are not indeed the truth of a group of people, but because this is the way media or our family or culture has indoctrinated us, we begin to feel we have the right to look down on people who are not like us. And Jesus himself, yes, the Son of God in divinity, but yet he was a man without sin in humanity, yet having to separate soul and spirit. I'm sure it was really challenging for him, knowing that he was unbiased in spirit, but in flesh, he had to decide whether he'd take the risk of being involved in any conversation with someone who was deemed scum of the earth. Jesus talks with the Samaritan woman in chapter number 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more, but it was not Jesus who was actually doing the baptizing. He was overseeing the baptisms. It was the disciples who were actually administering the baptism at this time. And it says in verse number 3, when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was around the sixth hour of the day. And when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy some food. So this was a solo instance that the disciples were completely oblivious to. Verse number 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "Well, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Or it could read, "You are a Jew, and I am a harlot." Or it could read, you are a saint, and I am a sinner. Or it could read, you are sober, and I am a drunk. Or it could read, you are straight and I am gay. Or it could read, you are well and I am afflicted. Or it could read, you are a white man and I am a black woman. Everything that I have named as hypothetical instances exists within the body of Christ, to the point that at Azusa, everyone was together. But because some could not serve under a white man, they had to start their own denomination. Because everyone could not serve under a black man, they had to start their own organization. Or some could not deal with women being used by God, so they have their form of organization. And within this, the Jew in Christ, or the Christian within us, many times feels justified in shooting down anything that's not like us, or fearing things that we do not understand. So Jesus has this exact same conflict, knowing that he's supposed to unconditionally minister to all, because he came to die for all. But this is a cultural issue here. And the Pharisees are watching very closely how Jesus is going to respond to this woman, knowing where society is and where culturally the Jews stand in this instance. So the spotlight is on Jesus, and many times the Pharisees would intentionally try to set Jesus up to see how he was going to walk out law and order. So let me keep going. Jesus... I missed something. The parentheses. It says, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. For apostolics do not associate with Church of God in Christ. For Church of God in Christ do not associate with Baptists. For Baptists do not associate with Presbyterian. For Presbyterian do not coerce with Episcopalian. And yet, we all serve this loving, inclusive God. And
We all were washed in the same blood of Jesus. No matter what we received in our bloodline from our hereditary curses in the human sense, because of the spirit and the blood, we are all indeed the same. We're all God's children. But we who have arrived feel we have the home court advantage. Never mind the fact that this was her hometown. So therefore, this woman should not have to leave her residence. This is where she was at. Matter of fact, they made this place on purpose. This town was exclusive to that type of people. So if you don't want to see me, why did you come through my town? And if you don't want to deal with a certain type of person, why would you investigate their surroundings and their environments and get in their business and ask questions? If you don't want to know the answer, why are you asking so many questions? Because the answer you hear, you are not ready for. Jesus answered her in spirit, not flesh. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for this drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you not drinking water, but living water. And what has happened is the churches, all churches, have become stagnant to the point that there is water that exists, but because there was no currency or flow of the Holy Spirit, they have pond scum and fungus all around the edges and the perimeters because no one is expecting the living waters to flow. They're not anticipating baptism. That's how water gets stuff all on it. Because when people aren't expecting life change, they don't prepare the way for life change. I'm not throwing off, I'm correcting you. Because when you're not expecting a move, you don't prepare for a move. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him for some. He would have given you living water. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. What does that mean? It's associated with joy. And this woman did not have joy. She was not just thirsty. She was hungering and thirsting after righteousness, but was in a situation. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and this well is deep. You have nothing to draw with because the pain of what I've experienced, because of the paths I've chosen and the decisions that I have made. But don't judge my decisions because you don't know where I started. We are quick to make assessments of people's outcomes, but we ignore the origin from where the offense first began. We are all products and manifestations of an original instance, event, time that we may not have ever revealed to people, yet they judge the end, the outcome of a thing with no interest to find out. Yes, the dominoes have fell and they have spread into a pattern that everyone can see. You've seen dominoes, how they fall. And they fall out and one hits the other. And then if you have it set up right, they just fall and turn into something else. Something big that everyone can see. But the question isn't, why did the dominoes fall? We understand gravity was involved. Sin was involved. But where was the finger that pushed the first domino? That is the question. Not where it ended up, but who started this to begin with. Have nothing to draw with. My emotional well runs so deep that you can't even understand where I'm coming from. Down in that well, I'm not even sure if living waters exist because it's been so long since someone has reached into the depths and the abyss of my emotional distress and even my guilt and condemnation about who I've become. Everyone else, they say it's too deep. Every other church I go to, they say it's too dirty. Every other place I go, they say that this is the worst sin in the world. Everywhere I go, they say I'm too dirty to receive salvation. They say I'm too nasty to return back to Christ. I'm too far gone for reconciliation. My well runs too deep. But how many of you all know that there is no deep that is too far down that God can't find even a cup of living water that still exists within you? I'm here to let you know, you may feel like your well has run dry, but God knows how to find even a little thimble full of living water, and he can turn that little thimble into an ocean of water that flows with his spirit with joy and power. You have nothing to draw with. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? And Jesus answered and said, everyone who drinks of this water, praise the Lord, will never be thirsty again. There's something about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. When you drink of the living waters as well as laying beside the still waters, which will restore your soul. But 14 says, but whoever drinks the water I will give him, he will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water, which means a geyser. There's no way you are filled with the Spirit of God with a pond full of scum in your life. Every time you feel joy, something should be exploding out of you, excited about the fact that I was blind, but now I see. A spring of water. There's a river of living water springing up in my soul. Somebody say it's joy unspeakable. Have you ever been so happy that the same way you cry about something going wrong, wait till something good happens to you? The crying is just as intense as when things are tragic. Yes. Yes. I used to laugh at Little Miss America and all the little universe pageantries. They would cry and things when they received their crown and their little roses and things and sorts. I used to wonder, I used to say, why would they cry like that? It's a good thing that has happened. Why would this woman be crying? Why is this pageant winner crying? It's because, first of all, they did not believe they would win. Some of you all, when you think of the goodness of Jesus and you think of how you should have lost and been dead and killed behind some of your actions, sometimes you will just think about stuff and start crying, knowing that other people made similar decisions and did not get out what you got out of. That will make you get joy when you think about you did the exact same thing but did not get the exact same judgment. That's enough to say, Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Somebody think back on two or three things that you know you should have paid for and others paid for, but for some reason, because of what was on your life, God had mercy on you. Don't look around like you ain't done nothing. There's more than one crackhead in this house. Don't look around like it ain't you. There's more than one smoker in this house. Don't look around. There's more than one alcoholic in this house. Don't look around. I'll give him living water welling up into eternal life. If you want eternal life, you've got to have the rivers of living water springing up. That's why Jesus said in the previous chapter, except a man be born of the water, the living water, not just water, except a man be born of the living water, except a man be born again of fluent water, of, a water that flows from the fountain of God that heals everything along the way. Don't you know that if even some mist from this water gets on your life, if just a little bit of drops or sprinkle of God's joy gets upon you, it can turn a desert into a beautiful place. Oh, hallelujah. And the woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." It's amazing. The well that was established by the spiritual forefathers was not enough to quench her thirst. In other words, there are some things that no longer are applicable to this generation because the demons they were fighting then are quite different than the demons we are facing now. The same origin, but they have manifested into a new evolution. Religion has dried up the living water because we have blow-dried God's spirit out of the house. Because we have programmed the essence of who he is out of our house. Because we would rather be seen and heard of men than to hear a word from the Lord that silences an entire congregation. When the Lord begins to speak, you don't need a preacher. When the Lord begins to speak, you don't need music. There is water that God wants to have erupting like a geyser into the spirit realm, but people keep on compressing and suppressing it because man wants to be the one that induces God's Holy Spirit, but no man can induce the presence of the Lord. The only thing that makes the power of God comes in is when people come together and let their geysers go off with joy. When you walk in the house, you come in with living waters coming out of your mouth with joy and praises. That induces the presence of the Lord. She said that I'm still thirsty, although I keep coming here to draw water. I keep coming back to the altar getting prayer from the ministers, but I'm still thirsty. There was a song by Arrested Development that said, "I am still thirsty." It's like I know that there's more than what church is offering me. I know that there is more than what money can give me and buy me. I know that there is more than these relationships that leave me void and empty. I am still thirsty. Some of you are angry today and don't know why. It's not because you're an evil person. It's because your spirit is thirsty. You know that there is more that God is requiring of you. You can't put your finger on it, but you know that there's something else that God wants to impart into your spirit. And Jesus is here trying to offer her something, but because she's still going by the carnal presentation of what this water is, that she still has not heard what the Spirit was saying unto her church. And then he said, "Go and call your husband and come back." And then the woman said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband." Because verse number 18, Jesus reads her like a book. It says, "The fact is you have had five husbands." The centrifugal difference between fornication and adultery is when a married man or woman is with another married man or woman, then it is called adultery. But if a married man or woman is with a unmarried man or woman, it is called fornication. So this woman was a fornicator. Understand this. Then she moved into adultery after fornication opened the door. Okay, let's keep going. "The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." So what you're saying, dear, is true. You don't have a husband because the one you're with is not your husband. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." I bet she could at that point. Because he's trying to tell her that you're trying to fulfill your thirst with men. But men leave you dry. Tell you everything you want to hear to get it. And split once it comes time for the emotional commitment. True. It's quiet up in here. It's quiet up in here. Our Father first worshiped on this mountain, but you church folks claim that the only place that we can worship is at the apostolic church. This is what she's saying. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the only place where we must worship has to be in Jerusalem. Now, that's what the current rumor was, that the only people who are saved are those who have it our way. Let me let you know something. God is a fair God, and he's not caught up in theological dissertations. There are some that you swear are in heaven now that are not there. And there's going to be some folks that you write off today that's going to be right up with Jesus because you don't know what conversations people have before they die. Amen. See, just because you see obvious things don't mean that you know the silent conversations I've had with God. So don't judge what you're about to see. Folks will judge thinking they know it all, but they don't know the private restoration and the private repentance and the private conversations of reconciliation that goes on, and you don't have to tell nobody about those conversations. Tell someone as if you haven't done anything. Look at someone else and say, as if. You're so offended by what I do, yet you do it better than me. As if. As if. Everyone has the answer as to what people need to do and how they need to straighten up and fly right. But listen, dear, get your own water. Ask God to water your dry forest. Come on up in here. Every one of us has a desert season, but it's not too big for the living waters to soak in and cause some new crops to grow. He who is without sin, take a shot, and the whole church turns to crickets. He or she may have to minister to you when you try it. When they all turn on you. Jesus could have turned away culturally and said, I don't even have to deal with this woman because I shouldn't even have to deal with this type of woman anyway. Not only is she a Samaritan, she's loose. She's not a kept woman. And me and my elderhood. Me and my magnanimous titles. How dare I come near that before she touches my holy cloth? But how could Jesus not touch her but yet die for her? So he knew that wasn't going to work. You don't want to touch her, but yet you got a word for her. You don't want to deal with them, but yet you got a word for them. Okay, let's stay on course here. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens, because this is getting good. This ruffles saints' feathers. But who cares if their feathers are ruffled after they've broken so many wings? Ask your neighbor, how many wings have you broken in this house? Just snap their little wing in two because they didn't take off good on the first flight. Jesus declared, believe me. Say, believe me. A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Give me the Message Bible version of this. I'm about to blow some of y'all away because it's about to happen whether you want it or not. Give me the Message Bible version. Loud. Believe me, woman. Uh-huh.
The time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem.
Keep going.
Thank you.
It has in fact come. Go on.
When what you're called will not matter and where you go to worship.
Wait.
That's good.
The time is coming. Jesus steps back and says, hold up, wait. No, it's here. That what? It won't matter what? What did it say? It won't matter what you're called, what your social label is. The time has come where it won't matter what your background is. The time is coming where it's not going to matter where you come from, what you've been through, because it won't be about your stuff, your label, your orientation, your thoughts, your ideas. It won't be about fleshly stuff. Once you get in the spirit, that's all that will matter. Get the Holy Ghost and all the labels will disappear. You're so stuck on what you're called because you haven't been born again. Once you're born again, you're no longer what they called you. You ain't hearing me in the Holy Ghost. Folks will call you things based off of your human birth, but they can only call you a son and a daughter of God once you've went down in his name, because you lost your last name and took on his name. Oh, Lord Jesus. So, it won't matter. The time has come where it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Tell your neighbor, it doesn't matter. Quit making an idol out of your issue. Quit worshiping your circumstance and get in the spirit. In the spirit, there was the fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there was the fullness of joy. And the enemy wants you to quit. Keep on talking about what it is and how you were hurt and how many times it happened and how many times they hurt you and how many times they wronged you, to the point that that's all you do. But if you shift your attention off of the negative, off of the flesh, off of carnality, and be born again of the water and of the spirit, you will see God's perspective. The kingdom perspective has nothing to do with church gossip, has nothing to do with society's mess, has nothing to do with people's opinions. No man can judge you but God. And God says, once you take on my name, everything that you are born with no longer is an issue. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Tell someone it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter where you've come from. Doesn't matter where you've been. God is able. He's able to fill you with the Holy Ghost. All you have to do is repent. Be baptized. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Don't matter what you've done. Don't matter what they know. All it matters is I once was blind, but thank God now I see the light. Come into the light. Praise be unto God who has brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Come into the light. Come on in where the table is spread. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in, prostitute. Come on in, adulterer. Come on in, crackhead. Come on in here. Because there's hope for you in God's house. Only God can judge me. Only God can rescue me. It don't matter what you say. I've been born again of the water and of the spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'm free from my past, free from my labels, because God, he washed me. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Somebody praise him in here. Somebody praise him in here. Somebody worship in here. It doesn't matter what your flesh says. Your spirit is what tells the truth. That's why I said the spirit. The spirit and truth. Because they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And how can you have the Holy Ghost and you're still lying to yourself? The first thing you have to do is be honest about your position. The first thing you have to do is release yourself from people's blackmailing powers. Because the only way people can hold you hostage is if you don't tell the truth. Secrets are the only assassins. They're the only things that can keep you bound and scared. But once you expose the enemy and quit being a liar up in church and trying to fool people that got their own junk still going on, quit wasting your energy trying to justify your actions when you've been justified by faith. And the moment that you ask God for forgiveness, tell your neighbor he's faithful to forgive. And not just one time. How many folks been forgiven 1,000 times? As long as you got breath in your body, as long as you woke up today, tell your neighbor, I got a brand new day, a brand new mercy. All I got to do is get in the spirit and tell your neighbor, tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth. Yes, this is what I am, but it's not what I'll always be. This is how I was born, but this is not how I'll be resurrected. This is how I started, but this is not how my story's gonna end. For God is the author and the finisher of my faith. My ladder shall be greater. Where I started will not be where I am. Show glory. Tell the truth. Yes, I did it. Yes, I messed up. Yes, I jacked up. I'm a liar. I'm a prostitute. I'm a drunkard. But lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Take me to the altar so I can get it under the blood. And after I get born again, everything I did dies in the water. Everything I said dies in the water. Take me to the water. Show glory.
Now, the truth releases you from your accuser. Jesus was trying to get her to see, don't try to trick me because I know what you did already. Don't front with God at this church like we all think you cool, but Jesus know what you still like. You're not tricking him. You might be fooling some of us, but those of us who have discernment, forget discernment, those of us who just know familiar spirits, we already knowing where you coming from. So you may be getting somewhere with us, but with Jesus, it's not a surprise to him. All he's saying is, tell me the truth and get in the spirit. You can't. That's why worship ain't working at churches no more. Because you can't come up with a false pretense and a religious worship look. You got to be butt naked. You can't come in throwing on no religious fur and decadent hat thinking that means that you clean before the Lord. The best worshipers are the ones who are the evilest, the craziest, the freakiest of them all, because their worship is sincere. They have nothing to hide behind. It's a blessing Tell your neighbor sometimes it's good to get caught. Because if you hadn't got caught, you wouldn't have stopped what you was doing.
Oh, my God.
Y'all better say something to me. It's not always the devil that exposes you. Sometimes God will expose you so that you will live out in truth. And then after you find out the truth of who you are, the only recourse is to get back in the spirit. God only exposes your mess to get you back in fellowship with him. Do I have a witness in here that God will do some things? It wasn't the devil. It was not the enemy. But it was Jesus saying, I know how many husbands you got. I know how many wives you got. I know how many tracts in your arm. I know how much you snorted. I know how much you drank. But still, I had mercy on you. So you owe me your life, children. You owe me your body, children. Lay down your body as a living sacrifice. And if today is your day to walk in spirit and in truth, the moment you get honest with yourself, your worship is going to affect other people's life. When you get real with God, your worship will penetrate other people's life. Tell someone, I want to be real. In season and out of season, because these folks ain't got a heaven or hell to put you in. But tell somebody, be honest with God, be honest with yourself, and watch God pull you out. And your enemies will watch the conversion. Your enemies will see the conversion. Your enemies will see the transformation. Because when they can't hold your business over you, there's nothing else they can use on you. So when you tell the truth on yourself, the blackmailing disappears. When you tell the truth on yourself, the accuser can't be in your ears. When you tell the truth, the enemy can't control your mind anymore. Tell somebody, I come with my hands up. I surrender all. You ain't got to arrest me. I'm coming out of this crack house with my hands up. I'm coming out of this relationship with my hands up. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. Will ever love and trust him, and in his presence I'm daily gonna live. Tell somebody, I surrender. I want the truth of the matter. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you're free today, say, I'm free. No more lying, no more deception. It's out in the open. It's out there for everyone to see. But now I'm a new creature. Now I'm a new person. Because I'm not a liar. A liar won't tarry in his sight. A liar won't stay in his face. I refuse to lie for somebody else to accept me. But if I tell the truth and shame the devil and pull the covers off of him, there's no more chains holding me. Somebody praise him, because the devil's plot has been exposed. But you're free today. Praise him in the spirit. And out of your belly, out of your belly will flow short like a river. I got joy in my belly. I got joy in my spirit. Because I know the truth. You telling lies. But I know the truth. You telling lies. But I know the truth. If you go lie on me, then get your facts straight. Matter of fact, when you've been freed, you'll correct folks. Say, you didn't tell it all. It wasn't 16 people. It was 32. Get your story right. Since you're going to accuse me, at least be accurate with your accusation. No, it didn't happen one time. It happened 40 times. But the one time I said sorry, God erased all of the...
You can commit 100 mistakes. All you got to do is say, Lord, forgive me one time. Forgive me. And God will forgive you this day.
The woman said, I know Messiah. Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. She tried to write it off to the rapture. She tried to say, yeah, when Jesus comes back, that's when everything will be fine. Says to the woman, no, it's not when Jesus is coming. Sweetie, Jesus is standing right in front of you. The Lord Harabashin Diosa. Once you get in the spirit realm, you quit saying the Lord's about to deliver you. And with your spiritual eyes, you will see that Jesus has been standing right in front of you the entire time. Tell someone he's not coming. He's already here. Because the moment you tell the truth, he has to show up. He dwells in truth. Liars can't tarry in his sight. But truth tellers, with their messy selves, as long as they keep being honest, notice how God keeps protecting them. But the ones you thought were so saved, acting pious, those are the ones that get taken out of here. Because they had a form of godliness. They had that Jew mentality. We don't deal with them type of folks. That's just not the way we were raised. What if the way you were raised was wrong? There's a lot of things our parents taught us that weren't exactly altogether conclusive. But they did the best that they could at the time. But everything that your parents have said, sitting too close to the TV doesn't make you go blind. You step on a crack, you won't break your mom's back. You're laughing at it, but there are also religious, mythological things. God forgives everything but blaspheming the Holy Ghost and suicide. Explain Samson. Samson, in the process of getting his strength back, ended up taking himself out. So what you have to do is say, let God be God. Quit trying to put Tupac and Biggie and Big Pun and Aaliyah in hell. We don't know what happened with Michael seconds before he lost. We don't know. We let God be God. Because everyone may not have a chance to come to a church, but my God is so faithful and honest. I can't see him saying, well, you didn't make it down to the apostolic church to get baptized in time, and even though you had cancer, you should have came out of your intensive care unit, or we should have brought a horse trough of water down to the hospital for you to be baptized, for you to make it into heaven. We do not serve a narcissistic God. We serve a fair God, an honest God. He's the righteous judge. I'd rather be in the hands of an angry God than in the hands of man. Because at least I know he'll be angry and fair. Angry at the transgression, but fair with his judgment. Because he'll take all things into account. Spirit and truth. Except a man be born again. Nicodemus says, what do you mean? I'm supposed to go back into my mother's womb? No, that's impossible. That's impossible. I'm not sure if Nicodemus was being honest or was he being sarcastic, but in any event, Jesus knew how to handle it. He was saying, unless you get born again of the water and of the spirit, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't see how God is working upon your behalf. You'll see every challenge as a devil's invention instead of God's intervention.
When you have the Holy Ghost, he'll show you, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. The water is an open sign. You make an open testament that the person I am today repents of their sins and dies openly in front of a congregation, saying that I am dying out to my old ways. When the name of Jesus is called over that water, that regular plain water that's inside of your bathtub and showers, when the name of Jesus is called over, it changes. You go down one way, but you will rise up walking in the newness of life. Can you imagine every encounter you've had, everything you've ever experienced, everything that you wanted to release and tell people about just so your conscience could be clear? How many of you have stuff in the back of your mind that you wish you couldn't remember anymore? God, I don't even remember I did that. Put them hands up. There's things that you'll go to your grave with? Why walk around with anxiety and fear when God has not given us the spirit of fear? And all that mess can die with you. And when you come up, if God no longer remembers it, don't you remember it. It's already done. You can't fix what has happened. But you can stop the bleeding with the blood of Jesus. He's the balm of Gilead. That open wound you got from I don't know how many years ago that's still pussy and stuff, he can handle it. He says, go ahead, die in here. It's symbolic. You ain't gonna drown. We have trained professionals that know how to baptize you. What it's saying is, this is a watery grave. And if Jesus went down into the grave but got up with all power, you need to do the same. Even Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist. And once he did it, his father said, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. Why? Because he was obedient unto death. Is there anyone here who would like to start their life over and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Come now. And I am going to baptize you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Minister Kim. Thank you, Jesus. Someone else, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name today. Come.